The following is a paid program and may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting
and WFED. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individuals or advertisers as indicated. WFED does not endorse or take responsibility for those statements or opinions. Federal News Radio accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracies or errors in admissions reported during this program.
Hello and welcome to Fed Central, a program where executives and federal government leaders talk about the issues and initiatives that are making a real impact on the business of government today. To help government, help America. On today's show, we'll discuss data center consolidation and whether that consolidation can help federal agencies cut spending and stop data center sprawl. Joining us is Roger Saracelli. He's a director with Deloitte Consulting in Federal Technology, and Kelly Meir, a principal with Deloitte Consulting in Federal Technology, Strategy, and Architecture. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being here today.
Great. Thank you, Jane.
Thanks, Jane.
All right, let's start with the topic of data center consolidation. It's been a focus for the administration. You know, I think at this time when everybody's discussing budgets and whether there'll be money to spend on initiatives, this is one of the areas where the administration feels there might be some benefit in consolidating data centers. So give us a landscape, if you will. Tell us what's really going on.
Yeah, Jane, I'll take that. It couldn't be a better time for data center consolidation. It's certainly not a new topic, but in these times of tight budgets, there's the tremendous opportunities to get more efficient and save money. To give you some sense of the sprawl of data centers that has occurred currently in the federal government, there's about 2,100 data centers. And back in 1998, there were about 400. And just 2 years ago, in 2009, there were about half of what we currently have. So we've grown from 1,100 to over 2,000. Each of these are generating significant expenses associated with real estate, energy, hardware, software, and labor to operate and maintain this. So in an effort to reduce these costs, the administration is directing agencies to reduce the number of data centers by 40% or 800 data centers by 2015. And in fact, by the end of 2011, the goal is to reduce data centers by 195. An aggressive goal, but it is doable.
So Kelly, how do they do that?
Well, certainly they've made progress to date. And typically when you launch in one of these endeavors, you'll focus on some of the easier, the low-hanging fruit, as we would call it, to get closed. And so with a goal of closing, say, the first 400 of the 800 identified within the first two years, that's not necessarily easy, but it's certainly easier than the next 400. And so our belief is, you know, while there's a tremendous focus specifically on the technology, on literally closing the facilities and migrating computing resources from one venue to another, it's very important that we also take a look at some of the fundamental issues as to why do we experience sprawl in the first place? How did we get to this point and what caused that? Because if we don't address those fundamental issues in the inefficiency of IT, while we may ultimately achieve the reduction in data centers, we won't necessarily stay there. If this is a living, breathing environment, and they'll grow back to a higher than optimal number yet again, and so we'll have to start the process over. So as we go towards this, we need to take a focus on really correcting some of the fundamental issues that exist.
All right. So how did we get here? Yeah. I'll bite on the question. Roger?
Well, it's really a question of improved technologies, and servers have gotten, they're no longer scary to our users, and technology no longer sits inside the four walls of the IT data center. So functional users, business people that have applications and have needs for technology are buying their own technology, putting them in closets with special air conditioning, energy, and labor to do that. So the sprawl is not surprising. But we now have technology, particularly with cloud and other innovations that allow us to just pull this together. Also, I'd like to just spring off of some of Kelly's comments in terms of the sustainability here. This really is a transformation project. We'll talk about technology, but I don't believe it's the focus of making this successful. I think the successful key element here is transformation and change. and executive leadership and sponsorship to not blink, to take a burn the boats attitude and make sure this gets done.
Yeah, you know, Roger, it's interesting. You mentioned the sort of how we got here and what's happened in the federal government. It's no different than happened anywhere else. And as Roger mentioned, as we moved away from the singular glass house of the mainframe IT with complete control, say 20 years ago when client server started taking off, this was a natural evolution that you had a sprawl of client server resources, that servers were very valuable, and they happened all over the place. What's happened in the commercial environment is that recognizing that loss of control is resulting in tremendous waste of money, inefficiencies, poor services to the end users, et cetera, they have regained control of those infrastructure resources while at the same time maintaining an eye towards serving the end customers, the business units, or frequently in the federal world, our case, the programs. What has not happened in the federal world is really that transformation of IT such that it becomes a bunch of individual stovepiped entities back into a more singular group of entities that can exercise those economies of scale and the highest level of optimization and efficiencies. And it comes back to that same transformational approach. We need to have a focus on things like IT governance, the processes, IT services management, communications, and mutual incentives to arrive at these goals. And that's really what's holding the federal government back. Certainly everybody understands the end state goal. It's really the challenges to get from where we are now to where they need to be.
Jane, let me get back to your question about how are we doing? And we've done a number of these large projects, both on the commercial side as well as the public sector and federal side. We typically see users and stakeholders dividing into three primary groups. The first group is the group that naturally embraces this kind of change. They're not happy with the status quo. They're passionate about making change. And they really become the change agents. The second group is those who outright oppose making changes to the status quo because they're trying to protect their turf or trying to protect the operation and the systems and the processes that they're very familiar with. And these people will hold firm until they absolutely have to change. And the third group are the fence sitters. And the fence sitters will wait to see what the winning team looks like, and they will then join that team. They're not yet brave enough to select a team. And our recommendation and experience is really not to waste a lot of cycles with the opposition. Continue to apply pressure to them, but spend time with the fence sitters because you can convert them. And if we get a few successes, visible successes, and the government is now seeing those, with data center consolidation, they are making progress. Get the fence sitters to jump to the team to be passionate about this. This is really about transformation. It's about changing and eliminating status quo and basically moving to a new environment of how we operate and run our data centers.
And so are there benefits, demonstrable benefits that agencies can touch, feel, and smell at this point that, you know, the data center consolidation has really proven itself to be a cost saver?
Absolutely. I think what's always interesting is the benefits are generally articulated up front as the reasons why you would embark on this. So we're buying a single server for every application, and the server is not very highly utilized. So it's actually only computing something like 10 or 15% of the time. So you're wasting the other 85% of the time. So how can we be more efficient in how we're doing that? In terms of loading the applications on the servers, which ultimately results in less buying of stuff. Similarly, you're consuming too much electricity. So there's a lot of cost savings between reduction of procured assets, reduction of energy consumption, reduction of total floor space that we have to procure because data centers are extremely expensive. All those things are generally the catalysts behind why you would go forth and try to embark on these. What's interesting is what's usually not the immediate driver, and certainly harder to quantify, is what you see after the fact is once you do get into a more optimal state of execution, when your IT shop, your data center operations are running at these higher levels of efficiency, is that the end users experience far greater service and productivity from their IT environments than they would have before. In fact, the lack of productivity in exchange for the dollars spent is really the bottom line that, you're driving towards. So certainly minimizing costs in and of itself isn't the goal. The goal is to be efficient, to provide outstanding services, but at the best price point.
Yeah, this is a classic problem. Kelly, I like what you're saying there. But just to extend it, this is really the classic problem of going from singular agencies that operate in a stovepipe, and I know that term is way overused, but it still applies, and going to an enterprise model where we are sharing and really only using what you need. It's a bit of a case of outsourcing. Outsourcing works sometimes. I think it's had its peaks and valleys, but this is the best of all worlds. It's outsourcing, but only on a use what you need system or demand.
We're talking today to Roger Ceritelli, Director of Deloitte Consulting and Federal Technology, and Kelly Meir, Principal with Deloitte Consulting and Federal Technology Strategy and Architecture. All right, so gentlemen, the Obama administration has laid out a plan. Vivek Kundra, a federal CIO, has been actively involved. Are they executing on this? Have we seen demonstrable progress? Or how far do we need to go? How far do they have to go? And are they is the plan that's been laid out really working effectively?
So I think that as I view the administration's overall 25-point plan to reform IT management, it takes a very pragmatic approach in terms of everything that needs to be corrected in IT. It does attempt to address a lot of those root issues. So it looks at procurement, it looks at management of projects, it looks at trying to identify where we can share delivery of services, where we should use commercial best practices instead of reinventing all those things. And very tangible progress has been made, I think, in all those fronts. Having said that, again, the initial steps are generally the easiest. We have seen statements of accomplishment to date, and they're all quite valid, but it's going to get harder and harder and harder. And so it is very doable. I think the key is that it's going to take more than just the federal CIO's office. It's going to take more than the CIOs of individual departments or agencies. It's going to take buy-in and collective desire to accomplish this from all the stakeholders, including the secretaries, the CFOs, and the program leaders, to recognize the real value and benefits that we will all enjoy from this.
And so, Roger, what still stands in the way?
Really, it's human behavior is the biggest thing that stands in the way, and getting people to be passionate about changing this and moving. But that's not surprising. Again, I think with executive sponsorship and continued focus on this, whether they walk, run, or stumble down this path of improving IT optimization, as long as they're making progress and keep their eye on the end state vision, I think they're doing a great job with it. Recognize data center consolidation, too, is only one weapon in the arsenal of improving data center efficiency and reducing costs. Cloud computing, we can't have the discussion around data center consolidation without discussing cloud. So we can get into cloud a little bit, because the debate about whether we should do cloud is over. We're going to do it. We have to do it. It's been very, very successful in the commercial marketplace, and it's transferable to the federal government.
The cloud has arrived.
The cloud has arrived.
And there's a recently released report from the Tech America Foundation. We'll talk about that and its implications for data center consolidation when we come back. This is Fed Central on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guest today, Roger Ceritelli, Director, Deloitte Consulting and Federal Technology, and Kelly Meir, Principal, Deloitte Consulting and Federal Technology Strategy and Architecture. We'll be back in a moment with more. I'm Jane Norris on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Mobile technologies allow the public sector to enhance its operations through a stronger social infrastructure. Learn how these developments are positively influencing the overall mission through innovation by bringing everyone closer together. Join Deloitte and Dr. Skip Bailey, former CIO at Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, to explore the future of mobile technology in government. Tuesday, September 27th at 2 p.m. To register, go to deloitte.com/us/government debriefs.
Welcome back to Fed Central. We're talking today about data center consolidation with Roger Saratelli, Director, Deloitte Consulting in Federal Technology, and Kelly Meir, Principal, Deloitte Consulting in Federal Technology Strategy and Architecture. I'm Jane Norris. Now, one of the things that that will be a major focus in the weeks ahead is this new report from Tech America on cloud and its adoption by federal agencies. And we talked a little about it. Roger, you mentioned it before we left for the break, that cloud is here. It's here to stay. There's no more debate about it. So what are the implications that this has for data center consolidation?
Yeah, it's absolutely tied to data center consolidation and is a parallel path or the next path. Cloud is basically a collection or a bank of servers that get used by groups of people as needed. So you no longer need to buy all the computing power that you think you will need in your peak times. You can buy it as you need it. So you can just imagine the tremendous savings and value there. And as you, as we said before, the time for debate is over. It's time to do it now. And Tech America makes that very, very clear in their report. In fact, the administration has a cloud-first strategy, which says basically any new application, any application that requires new infrastructure or new hardware must ask the question, why not cloud? Security is occasionally represented as a hindrance to going to the cloud, but that's really just a smokescreen. Security is a concern for sure, but it's not a reason to avoid cloud. It becomes an excuse. The security concern simply becomes a platform or an element in terms of how you deploy and how you use it. And I think most of us know there are private clouds and public clouds, and you can build in whatever security is required there.
Absolutely. I think Roger raises an incredibly valid point in that whenever the, you know, cloud is on the tip of everybody's tongue, and it should be always considered first, because it is arguably the most efficient approach towards getting those computing resources. But what frequently gets confused is the notion that the only cloud solution is this ethereal public thing where federal data is all over the world and nobody knows where it is and those sorts of things. Certainly, cloud as a technology, as a service delivery mechanism could be very valid within federal, so with a private cloud or some sort of hybrid, so that you could enjoy all of the same security security restrictions that and whatnot that we have today could be applied in that same environment. So as with every IT solution, the optimum choice is what's right for that particular situation. It may be cloud. It may not be cloud. It may be private cloud. It may be public cloud. But we should ask all those questions up front and not just continue to do what's always been done.
So are these two things compatible and dependent on one another, data center consolidation and moving to the cloud?
They're very, very compatible, and they don't necessarily have to be sequential. I think, again, as new applications come up, as new infrastructure is ordered, the idea of cloud first must be discussed before anybody goes out to buy individual technology servers for a particular agency. Let me make a comment here around security, because I think I don't want to lose that. I think it's a very important topic. I think that, when we're working with our clients, we put very significant effort into security early in the project. This is something that you really have to get right. Also, don't rely on estimates or guesses from your clients or stakeholders around the capacity that they think they will need relative to storage or computing power. Most clients really don't have a good idea how much data they're currently storing. They're storing far, far greater amounts of data than what they use on a regular basis. So you really need to do the hard work and the analysis and determine what needs to be converted to the cloud.
So are clients doing those benchmarking assessments, Kelly?
I think it's almost it's interesting that Roger brings that up in terms of what you ought to be doing as you deploy new things, because as he well knows as well, as we talk to our clients and as studies have shown, one of the biggest challenges the federal government faces, partially because of the stovepipe delivery of IT, partially for other reasons, is the dearth of information on what's actually out there. Accurate inventories of physical assets. What are their utilization rates? What is the power consumption? What is the PUE of data centers? All these sorts of benchmarks and statistics that the commercial world, once again, as the best practices example, has been measuring and driving towards optimizing for quite a number of years, that data is not readily available. So certainly one of the first things that we recommend as advisory type services is to understand your current state environment. Only then, once you understand what's really happening today, can you begin to chart out a plan towards optimization and begin to identify the costs that you're going to, you should expect to achieve through consolidation or whatever activity you're going to pursue. You can then predict what the savings will be.
And so as agencies do these assessments and they find out what's in their inventory, are there steps that they should take? I mean, is this kind of like, here's your checklist, this is what you do? Or is this is it really up in the air or dependent on what each agency's capacity is? Or how do you go about that?
No, Jen, it's really a very, very defined approach. I wouldn't quite call it a checklist, but it's an approach or a methodology in terms of how to do this. Once you have a good inventory through a discovery tool, you start looking at things like utilization of servers, utilization of networks. Where can you consolidate? Are there printers in most offices? And as we deal with the federal government, we find there are printers distributed in most offices. It may sound like a small thing, but if you count the number of printers as you can with some pretty easy technology and go to a centralized printing, just to use a very simple example, there's tremendous savings to be had there. So there is a methodology and approach once you have the inventory to look at it and go through it. And there are some templates, predefined templates that we typically apply to that inventory and to that usage and utilization that tell us where to look. So when doing this, and particularly when going to a cloud, although I develop a plan and you stay with it, you really need to be very, very flexible because you're going to learn a lot about your utilization, your storage, your data, and your security as you start doing this transition.
So are there lessons that we've learned from working with our commercial clients that may be applied to the federal government?
I think absolutely, and it kind of comes back to one of the points I made earlier. As Roger says, it's a pretty prescriptive and well understood methodology to get the technology to a more optimal point. Almost everyone understands that. There are plenty of best practices, and we can all get there. The biggest distinction between the federal world and the private sector, the commercial world, where they've been able to execute, comes back to these transformational, the softer issues. And in the commercial world, a CEO arguably has much more supreme authority to say, this is what we're going to do, and everyone gets in line and goes and does it. The CIO typically has authority, responsibility, transparency, visibility, all these sorts of things over the entire domain of IT, and they are able to execute accordingly and follow that prescriptive process. In the federal world, we still have a disparately executed form of IT, the stovepipes that Roger referred to earlier. And there are many, many stakeholders, and potentially for very valid reasons. You've got independent programs that have legislative mandate. You've got very large organizations that are geographically dispersed. So what we need to do to really, again, to affect change on this harder, larger scale that's going to be a tougher nut to crack so that we can simply execute that plan is to get that stakeholder buy-in at the secretary level, from the CFO, from the CIO, the program leaders, the regional leaders, and have them all agree and have mutual incentive to participate, not just dictatorially, but have them really recognize and see the value of it.
Yeah, hey, Kelly, let me tag team you on that one in terms of incentive to participate. You know, the idea that you and I and others have talked about for some time is giving back some of the savings to the individual agencies, a small percentage to allow them to take the next steps, whether it's data center consolidation or going to a cloud or training, whatever it may be. So I think in terms of those fence sitters in particular, I think we can move a number of them with some incentives like that. Money talks and giving them back some money, I think, will help them. I cannot overemphasize, though, the importance of executive sponsorship or leadership in initiatives like this. We mentioned earlier kind of a burn the boats mentality. I mean, once we arrive and we set this direction, there is no turning back. If there's hesitation or leadership blinks on this, the opposition is going to gain ground. So debate is over. We're going to new levels of technology efficiency, and we're not going to turn around and go back and keep going forward.
We're talking today to Roger Saracelli, Director, Deloitte Consulting and Federal Technology, and Kelly Meir, Principal, Deloitte Consulting and Federal Technology Strategy and Architecture. So is it all about the technology? Is that the only issue, really, that agencies have to evaluate?
No, certainly not. And I think it's interesting that in this particular arena, specifically data center consolidation, for whatever set of reasons, the federal government has frequently elected to go about solving it strictly as a technology issue. They will frequently leverage the service providers who are extremely competent in the areas of technology and use the best products and all those sorts of things, but yet still not necessarily achieve what they set out to. And to come back again to it's the softer extra elements of what is holding them back. It's the governance, the process, the other elements that need to be put in place and dealt with and looked at such that the technology service providers can do what they're capable of doing. They need to help get some of the obstacles mitigated that they're not necessarily prepared to deal with.
Yeah, Jane, Kelly, I like your comments there. And Jane, you mentioned the Tech America report on the commission on the deployment of the cloud. And there was four key messages there that they very clearly listed. And one of those was transformation. And listen, adopting new technology is difficult. We know that in our own lives. Transitioning agencies to the cloud are going to require investments of time and a lot of political will to make this happen. So we cannot underestimate that. We are changing the status quo for people. And I think in the past, some of the value of people was their knowledge, their investment in that status quo. It was their turf, the size of their domain, how many people, the size of their budget. We're changing all those ground rules. And this is upsetting the people. And I think we just need to take some time and really help them and train them, show them the benefits, but all the while maintaining a very, very firm hand with executive sponsorship that this is going to happen.
So budget pressures make it easier or harder to do this?
I'd say the budget provides a little bit of incentive in both directions. Certainly the budget pressure, the need to save, provides tremendous incentive to do more with less. On the other hand, the process for budgeting is very complicated, so it always gets in the way.
But budget is absolutely an incentive here. I think the incentive is to let agencies know as they save money on the back office IT operation, they can move that money to the front office where they maintain their mission and their service to citizens.
Well, thanks very much for joining us today, gentlemen. Great conversation. And you can hear more of it at federalnewsradio.com. And you've been listening to Fed Central on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guests, Roger Saracelli, Director, Deloitte Consulting and Federal Technology, and Kelly Meir, Principal, Deloitte Consulting and Federal Technology Strategy and Architecture. You can always find more at Deloitte.com. We'll be back with more in future shows. Please do join us. This is Fed Central on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jane Norris.
Mobile technologies allow the public sector to enhance its operations through a stronger social infrastructure. Learn how these developments are positively influencing the overall mission through innovation by bringing everyone closer together. Join Deloitte and Dr. Skip Bailey, former CIO at Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, to explore the future of mobile technology in government. Tuesday, September 27th at 2 p.m. To register, go to Deloitte.com/US/government-debriefs.